We just gotten through the death penalty controversy for Genesis 9, and kind of what we're doing for those of you that are new, we're going through the Bible and picking up all those science-faith issues where there is controversy and where there is challenge from unbelievers. You know, how can you claim this book as the error-free word of God and it's got this kind of content in it? And the death penalty passage is one of them. And what we got to see is, hey, you know, the Bible says a lot more than just Genesis 9:6 on this death penalty issue. Let's look at all the verses and see what's going on here. And I think we came to some reasonable conclusions that most of us were comfortable with and what the Bible actually says about the minimum penalty that the justice system needs to administer for murder and what the maximum penalty is and what kind of leverage we got in between and why we have that degree of leverage. Okay, now we're going to get into the whole idea of flood as something that God promises not to do to the human species again. And you know, what's amazing to me is I go through the Guinness World Book of Records and there's floods in there that killed a lot more people than the Genesis flood. So how do we handle the promise that's given here in the light of that information, that there have been more devastating floods? Well, that's easy, yeah, because the promise here is that there would not be another universal flood, okay? He didn't say there wouldn't be floods. Yeah, there will never again... Okay, let me just read the text. Verse 7, we got to start in verse 7. That's our segue between the death penalty passage. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number, multiply in the earth and increase upon it. And that's really the kind of the basis of understanding the death penalty. God wants us to be fruitful and multiply. If everybody's killing one another, that's not going to happen. Okay, verse 8. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. So one of the questions I'm going to ask you next week is, what is a covenant? Okay? This isn't the only place that talks about it. And with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals. All those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. What does it mean, every living creature on earth? Now, I would argue this text gives you some insight. Birds, livestock, wild animals, every living creature was with you on the ark. We already just studied what animals are on board the ark. And so we need to realize this is not a promise that God's never going to wipe out all the mosquitoes by water. I don't think you can wipe out mosquitoes by water. You got to get rid of the water to get rid of the mosquitoes. Okay, but it's a promise that he would not do this kind of damage to human beings and to this list of animals. What are these, every living creature on the earth? I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And yet there have been more destructive floods. How do we take that into context here? And what does he mean here where he says... all life will be cut off by the waters of the flood. What does all mean? May not mean what you think it means. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you. A covenant for all generations to come. What does it mean, all generations? Does that mean 10 generations? Does that mean 1,000 generations? We'll take a look at that. I've set my rainbow in the clouds. So it's the first time anybody ever saw a rainbow. That's one of the big controversies of the text. Were there rainbows before the flood? We'll address that one. Was there rain before the flood? We'll address that one too. I've set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth, and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I'll remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures and every kind on the earth. What does everlasting mean? Give you a tip. Everlasting in the New Testament is not the same as everlasting in the Old Testament. So what does this promise really tell us? So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I've established between me and all life on the earth. Now, you know, when I read this at age 17... it just seemed real straightforward to me, and I was rather aghast when I showed up here in California to do my postdoctoral studies at Caltech that there were Christians that fought over this passage. You know, and over the years I discovered they fight a whole lot more than I thought they did back in 1973. But I'm still rather surprised that the content of here is such a divisive, controversial issue within the church. And I guess it's been illuminating to me to discover how many unbelievers have heard about this controversy and therefore have used it as a point to ridicule the Christian faith and the body of Christ. So, as trivial as all this stuff might seem to all of us here in the class, I think we need to deal with it, because it has been blown up into a mountain. Here's a good example of a scriptural molehill being blown up to become a mountain, to where it becomes a stumbling block for unbelievers to come to faith in Jesus Christ. So that's the context of why we're studying this passage and why we're going to get into the detail we will. I see that my time is up, but now you get a little bit of idea what you can be studying between now and next time. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, what a thrill to be alive in the 21st century, to be alive in that era when there are so many discoveries being made that are revealing the glory of God, not just in the heavens, but here on earth, not just in the earth, but even in the caves of Carlsbad. Lord, what a wonderful time to see your fingerprints being revealed to us. And we rejoice in that, and we pray, Father, that you would give us many opportunities to share with our friends and associates this news of new reasons to believe in Jesus Christ and the accuracy of the words of the Bible. Help us, too, as we continue our study here in the book of Genesis, to guide people around their mental roadblocks to faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And pray, too, that you would step-by-step remove the roadblocks in our own lives, and help us with joy to receive new roadblocks that will come through the removal of the old roadblocks. Lord, that we can continue to be taught by you. In Jesus' name, amen.